sauna, let out of the ball is quiet.
Oh, he might be out of play for a little while.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Baldcast, the Wednesday edition of the Fox Football Podcast. Quick roll call, Brenton Speed.
In the house and my Blazers just got it done. That's when we're recording the pod about 5 minutes after Damian Lillard
hits
the dagger. What a moment.
I thought you were talking about your school Blazer. Andy Harper.
Present.
On the phone. And Murray Shaw present as always. On the show today, well may we say God save Brisbane Roar, because nothing will save this season. We'll look at the appointment and the schmozzle that manifested last weekend against Newcastle. We'll doff our caps to reveal our bald heads to several more departing A-League stars, and plus we'll look ahead to a big weekend in the Hyundai A-League. Brenton Speed, let's not mess around. Let's get straight into it, because there's plenty to talk about. Brazzalis, hit us with them, and surely you're starting with an ode, a tribute, something emotional to the great Peter Green, who has his 200th game this weekend.
Was that a deliberate?
Is he going to run through a banner?
Was that a deliberate political reference earlier on, because it's election time?
Yes.
And long may we say, God save the Queen, because nothing will save the Governor General.
That's exactly what it was, but that was as far as the political references went in that.
That was Gough Whitlam for all those born after 1980, etc. And I haven't watched The Dismissal, which is well worth watching for your education, if you're school kids out there. But let's get to the Brazzalis.
This is what everyone's been waiting for, Speedy.
Well, Peter Green, he's going to play, have his 200th game. First A-League referee ever to that mark.
Should we mic him up as he's walking out, and when he walks out with his two kids or something like that? Matt McCoy?
I think he's the most normal referee. That's the biggest rap I can give him. So well done, Peter Green. He brings up 200. And
3 points?
No, we'll see if he gets Brazzalis next week.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not just going to give him out willy-nilly.
Sure.
We're not doing anything. Because didn't he chalk off a goal against the Victory the other night?
He did.
Isn't he on the back foot then?
Which referee's boss Ben Wilson has since admitted was an error.
Oh, he didn't, Ben Wilson didn't put that in his little online contribution, though.
He tweeted after it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, the Brazzalis go like this. Alex King and Adam Kersey, they got the dud games on Saturday, and they were flawless. They share the 3 votes.
Good positivity to start with.
Brilliant. Kersey.
Which way, for the refs or for the game?
No, for Speedy.
Kersey in particular, he gave that pen when the goalkeeper just punched an opponent in the head. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. He punched him in the head. It's a pen. Of course it's a pen. Not many refs give it. If the goalkeeper punches the ball and then gets a bit of the head, fine, play on. But he didn't get the ball. He punched the head. It's a pen. Give it.
I was a bit worried about your last sentence, but anyway.
Well done, Adam Kersey.
Could have been misconstrued.
I thought you were going to break into a couple of radiators there.
Mm, yes.
But Sean Evans, what's with
another one for the people born after 1980. Go on.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up what you're on about. Anyway, what's with the Fergie time in Wellington? Nearly 3 minutes over the allotment.
You got a problem with refs going past the allotted time.
Well, if you put up 5 and you play 8...
We want to see more football? Only play 60 out of 90.
Well, make it 8 and don't embellish
it.
So
if you put up 3, you can't play 6?
Well, you can if there's been a stoppage.
Okay.
But there was 1 minute of stoppage and he added on 3 more.
Play on.
And he's lost track of time a few times, Sean Evans. A little clip, -1. But the big clip is coming for Chris Beath.
There's a shock.
Thursday night, Ryan Grant into space, but Milos Ninkovic, was it Ninkovic? I think had been blocked off on a runaway, and Beathy said, that's a yellow card, foul. So he ran over, chest puffed out, I'm giving the yellow. Oh, whoops, I should have had a look over my shoulder, because Ryan Grant's 1-on-1 from halfway with Liam Reddy.
Yep.
Just terrible. And Chris Beath is 170-plus games into his A-League career, and he makes this mistake just about every game. Doesn't pay enough advantage, doesn't take the extra second beat before coming up with the big yellow card decision. Come back and give the yellow later. See what happens. Come on, Chris Beath, -3. And is he the best ref? Is he going to get the grand final? Should he get the grand final? Kersey and King share the 3
remember,
bucks.
Remember, if he is the best ref of the year, you will be presenting him with the award.
Well,
which will be well worth watching on the A-League Awards.
Do I get the trophy early and I can take it to the engravers and change the name?
You could just graffiti over the top of it and give it to Gillett Rhymes with Philip.
Live via satellite.
I think that's fairly tame from you.
How How did you make from last night, Aveda Brazali, Speedy?
After tipping
the audience off that this is another one of Asia's best after you've just come down off cloud nine from old mate Rafghani. and then you're about to include the club last night, started out big, living at large with the next best ref in Asia. How'd that turn out?
Yeah, Nawaf Shakrala let me down. Oh, you know, I'm just trying to give a ref a rap rather than, be accused of being negative all the time.
No one had ever accused you of being negative about refs.
No just bundled him in with Ali Reza Fagani. You're right, I was a little too excited.
Right, and he let us Speedy, down. You are on an absolute roll. Continue with the player you enjoyed watching from the last 7 days.
Well, let's stay with last night. Let's go to the Sydney FC game in Shanghai. And they took on Shanghai SIPG. And Brandon O'Neill scored the goal. Left foot finish.
That very clever finish.
Beautiful. Totally deliberate.
Yep.
And he knew the goalkeeper was going to be wrong. It was almost Messi-esque, the finish.
Brandon O'Neill and Lionel Messi in the same sentence. I like it.
Yep. And it almost gripped like Tiger's little chip on 16.
And Tiger, good.
It sucked back to the hole.
Good.
And it went. Brilliant from Brandon O'Neill. But the best thing, forget about the finish, the best thing is the pass he plays. The pass he plays for the second goal.
Mm.
Have a look at it. Have a look at the highlight reel. All the plaudits are going to Siem De Jong and Adam Lafondra, but the goal doesn't happen unless Brandon O'Neill plays that pass first time into a teammate that he's assessed is onside in Siem De Jong, and then De Jong goes whack and Lafondra does a Tim Cahill-esque header, knowing that he can just deflect and it's going to be passed.
Very clever header.
Yep, not many do that. But Brandon O'Neill, take a bow, and I think he's looming large on the Socceroos radar. He's been fringe dweller, but now I reckon he's in the next squad.
What's his eligibility? Because isn't he also eligible to play for Ireland?
Yeah, but he's Australian.
The usual story, we've got to cap him before someone else does?
Yeah.
And also to Brandon O'Neill too, must be looming large for someone snapping him up for an overseas venture, wouldn't you agree, Harps?
Yeah, I think that combo's been bubbling around for a while and it's resurfaced in recent weeks and maybe that interest has particularly energised him because his form recently, his form line's good all the time, right? He's one of the outstanding players in the league on a consistency measure. But it's gone up a notch the last few weeks and really happy to hear Speedy prosecute his case so passionately last night.
He was fantastic. Righto, the player you enjoyed watching, Harps, was from Brisbane.
Yeah, well, we've all spoken about Dylan Wenzel Halls, and it's not that I enjoyed him watching particularly last week, but what it did occur to me finally, and it's probably occurred to other people a long time before this, was his style of play is next-generation Brett Holman. And I remember listening to European coaches, particularly Pimperbeek and Holger Osset, to recent Socceroos coaches, and talking about the European descriptions of a guy like Holman and why they liked him in Europe and why he did well and is a bit out of the mould and fantastic five-a-side scratch player, knows for the game, street football. And mate, if Dylan Wenzel-Halls doesn't have the same characteristics, I'm not watching the same game. Of course, I'm not getting ahead of myself and suggesting at this point that he can presume to a similar to career to Brett Holman. But I'm just talking stylistically. I reckon, it's a very exciting prospect. And, as if every game is played now, despite the schmozzle, as you so beautifully called it, that it was last week. Each week goes by, we wonder why Johnny Aloisi resisted playing him for so long. But anyway, that's all fish and chip wrap for now. The guy's got a big future if he can stay focused and work and listen, because you don't come across Brett Holman-type players terribly frequently.
And John Aloisi, as an aside, was at the Alaves Barcelona game last night posing with the mascot of Alaves, one of his former clubs, and that popped up on social media. But I digress. The player you enjoyed watching.
Well, I was just going to quickly also say that, Harps, you should fill us in on this story. You do have a history where your family has a history of spotting the next Brett Holman, if you'd like to share.
Well, my late father, God bless him, he passed away last year on the same day Portugal and Morocco played in the World Cup. And he was made through one of these community service clubs, despite the difference in age group, with Alex Wilkinson's dad. And as part of that connection, he would go and watch Wilco play as a 12-year-old in the Ku'ring'ai district and then for New South Wales, etc. And he came home one day, and this is when these guys were 12, he came home one day and he said, I think I've just seen the best young player I've ever seen. And my dad watched a lot of soccer. I didn't get a lot of the things right that he watched. And probably a lot of people will say that I've carried that gene into the next generation.
It's hereditary, yes.
He came back this day and said, there's a kid called Brett Holman. He kicked him out as a 12-year-old. He said, well, I think this guy's the best player I've ever seen. And of course, with a limited purview, but he picked him as a 12-year-old, along with getting very excited about the career that Alex Wilkinson might have as a 12-year-old, and he was right on both counts.
Now, the player I enjoyed watching, Speedy, you alluded to it, and I enjoyed watching him last season as well, and we haven't seen enough of him this season, was the guy who was so impressive on Saturday in that big win over Brisbane, and that was Joey Champness, sorely missed this season. You do wonder how Newcastle might have gone had he played a few more games, because he's so direct. He runs at players, which we love watching. He's very, very skillful, and something that we've banged on about on this podcast quite a number of times this season, he's very, very marketable. He's exactly the right fit for what the A-League want their players to be. He's a young guy that's into his hip-hop music. He even has put out a couple of tracks himself. Good-looking rooster, skillful, takes players on. The sort of person that the sort of player that every young kid would like to be. And I should point out, turns 22 in Newcastle's last game of the season on Saturday against Sydney FC, so we wish him a happy birthday. I enjoyed watching him against Brisbane Roar.
Could you say he's got swag?
He does have a bit of swag.
He's got big-time swag. But I'm going to throw a few others under this umbrella. Joey Champness, Angus Thurgate.
Yes.
Fantastic in that game.
The Port Macquarie pillow.
George Blackwood comes up with the winner.
Yep.
Riley McGree, two goals.
Gawler's own.
So, Champness, Thurgate, Blackwood, McGree. What do they have in common?
They've barely been getting a look in.
They went away.
Under-23.
They went away with Graham Arnold, didn't they?
For the under-23s, and they've improved
not that
since,
long ago, and improved since.
There you go.
Did they get much out of that trip to, where was it? Mongolia? Cambodia.
Cambodia.
I think they got plenty out of that trip. Well, and those who bagged it.
That's a long boat.
Those who bagged it. Hang on. Those who bagged it, Kevin Muscat and those types, have a good hard look at yourself, because the proof is in the pudding. Proof is in the pudding this
Arnie's
weekend.
Arnie's turned them round as players in the space of the
big
10
time.
In the space of the 10 days he's had with them.
They've come back full of confidence. They're playing better. They're finishing better. Champness's finish were outstanding. Blackwood finally finished one.
I think we've always known that Joey Champness has had it in him. I mean, he had a pretty good season last season.
Yeah, but they've come back with elevated confidence. Harps, come on, contested Harps.
Massively long bow. Riley McGree's been playing well all season. Joey Champness has been injured all season, so he can't have been playing well.
Well, he played for the Aussie under-23s.
I take your point, Speedy. You have made that loud and clear. I just think you've drawn an incredibly long bow on this one to
I'll also point out another player that went away with the under-23s who was deplorable on the weekend, as pointed out by Nick Meredith in commentary, and that was Nick D'Agostino. So, you know, you can pick out some players, but there's probably...
Yeah, just too long a boat, Steve.
The week before he put it on a dime for Botiac.
Yeah.
Where's Blackwood been all these weeks? He hasn't been exciting you all these weeks, and he's been back from Cambodia or Mongolia or wherever the hell you wanted to send him. He's been back for weeks. He scores one goal, and all of a sudden you think that was a bit of magic pudding.
I think he's shown a little bit, and I'm just clumping them all in there, that they finally come to the boil after Arnie's little magic dust finally sprinkled to good effect.
Written and spoken by Brenton Speed for the Graham Arnold Party of Australia. Now, let's move on to the big story in the last 24 hours, and that is the Robbie Fowler signing as the new coach of the Brisbane Roar. And it's been met with plenty of criticism, simply for the fact that Robbie Fowler doesn't have any coaching experience, but that doesn't seem to have mattered for plenty of his ex-colleagues in the likes of Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard. What do you make of it all, Harps?
Yeah, I my personal view on these things is that the time to debate the candidate is up until decision day. This is my view anyway. And I agree with the concerns that I have done up until the announcement, the concerns about his lack of experience. Not so much the lack of experience, because everyone's got to start their first job somewhere. That doesn't worry me. My concern is that why it's taken him so long to get into coaching. That's my big question. But I'm quite calm now and comfortable in saying that now that Brisbane have made this decision, I hope it works, and we're going to be very enthusiastic about what Robbie Fowler can bring, and now he earns his keep. Now, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not saying Robbie's going to be this type of coach, but inexperienced, or poor coaches have won plenty of things in world football, and the reverse is the case. Very good coaches gone their entire career without winning anything. So the experience thing is not that he hasn't coached, but it's that he's taken this long to get a job. But having said that, now I'm very excited at the upside of this deal and looking forward to him landing a couple of big fish for the club and then turning them around. And I think, you know, it's very easy for people to sit back and criticise and have their opinions, of course, to which they're entitled. But from my viewpoint, I'm going to let it breathe now and see how it goes and offer a little bit of respect to what I have to assume is the process that Brisbane went through to get to this point. What I will say in passing, however, is just a little bit of a short uppercut to Darren Davies. So you'll recall, as the interim coach of Brisbane with one game to go in that position, a number of months ago now, released a press statement suggesting that roll the drums, please, and hold on to your hats because I'm going to be making announcement, quote unquote, about my coaching future in the near future, end quote. Well, that decision or announcement was never made until the press release about Robbie Fowler where roll the drums and hold on to everything, Darren Davies is staying on as the assistant coach. I reckon that was just a bit of cheap media playing. It hasn't, in my opinion, humble as it may be, hasn't shown Darren in the greatest of lights.
And as I exclusively revealed on the broadcast about 6 weeks ago, Robbie,
do you have an exclusive?
Yeah, I told everyone who Robbie Fowler will bring as the brains of the operation.
Yes, you did too. Yep.
I said Tony Grant, the Blackburn first team coach of yesteryear,
yep,
will come down. And I think we'll see, maybe for the first time in A-League history, trying to bring that sort of UK Premier League element of the manager and the first team coach.
Mm.
Harry Redknapp, very good at being the managerial figure, and then having a Joe Jordan or those sort of types who are really getting out there on the training pitch and making stuff happen. And I think Robbie Fowler would do a lot of the media, the figurehead sort of role, speaking to Fox Sports and what have you, and then chiming in with the odd little pearls for strikers, for instance. But you watch Tony Grant, will be taking a lot of shots of him next year on the bench because I think he will be the brains of the operation. And there's big raps on this guy, so maybe he can get Brisbane playing the right kind of football.
You're a Liverpool fan, Speedy. Are you excited by it? Robbie Fowler at Brisbane Roar?
Yeah, well, we've had Robbie Fowler in the country before, of course, as a player. I was more excited about that, of course. But the coverage tomorrow on Anzac Day, he's going to feature, yeah?
Yeah, he's going to be at the game. He goes back, I think it's on Friday, so he'll definitely be at the game tomorrow and he'll be part of our pre-game coverage, which starts at 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, big one-hour lead-in to the game, which is at 2 o'clock.
So what's he doing? Having a chat for 5 minutes?
Or? Yeah, he'll be on the pre-game panel as well. Not for the whole game.
You've got a theory behind some potential of the Fowler appointment.
Yeah, I do. I think
the AKA players, etc.
Yes, I might have touched on this a couple of weeks ago. My view is, he is considered a bit of a legend. Well, not a bit of a legend. He's a legend of the Liverpool club, right? If the Liverpool club see him as a potential coach or part of the coaching setup at Liverpool in the years to come, I sense that they'll look after him as they have done with Steven Gerrard at Rangers. Obviously, geography is a factor in this, but looking at Liverpool players at Rangers at the moment, they signed John Flanagan, Rangers that is, from Liverpool, and they had two players there on loan in Ryan Kent and Ovi Ejaria. And quite similarly, maybe if they don't want Robbie Fowler to be made to look silly coaching Brisbane Roar, they might look at sending a few players down under to join him. One player I will throw up, and I know that this player has been offered to several A-League clubs already for next season, is Daniel Sturridge. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if the phone call is made from Robbie Fowler to bring someone like Daniel Sturridge down as a marquee for next season. Would that excite you, Speedy?
Definitely. Would the FFA have him under the marquee premise?
I can't see why not. Yeah, I can't see why not. I think pretty sure he'd tick the boxes.
Well, he should tick the boxes because he's entertainment plus.
Yes.
The celebrations are fantastic, can score worldies.
Yep.
So if Daniel Sturridge's name comes up and the FFA don't know who he is, maybe put in some phone calls.
No, I'm pretty sure they'll know who he is. Okay. I'm pretty sure he'll tick the boxes.
Well, how do they not know some other players in the past?
Because they didn't necessarily tick all the boxes that they're looking for, such as marketability.
You don't think Carlos Eduardo, was that the one they turned down that time?
Eduardo, the ex-Croatian Brazilian.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he not worth bringing down to the A-League?
I think one of the factors might be, well, we know one of the factors is social media following, but I think another of the factors is being able to promote the game, therefore standing in front of cameras and being able to promote the game. And if you don't speak English, obviously that's going to be a little bit more difficult. So what do you make of that theory, Harps?
Yeah, I think you might be onto something, Muzz. It certainly provides an avenue. And Liverpool's attitude is going to be interesting because a couple of steps short of them actually maybe seeing if Robbie's got coaching potential that interests them. He is a Liverpool ambassador. He's a rusted-on legend of the club. It is in their interest to maintain the holiness, quote-unquote, of his name remains intact.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, it remains intact, and so whatever support they can give him to support a legend beyond the Brisbane Roar appointment so that he can continue flying around the world in first-class luxury and exciting the network of Liverpool fans internationally, then that's something that I would think they would, from a business point of view, feel like it's worth investing in, and really it wouldn't pro rata cost them that much.
Now, you two are behind the microphone for the Anzac Day clash on Thursday at Suncorp, Brisbane Roar versus Adelaide. There's plenty of reason to watch the game, of course, because Adelaide need a win to secure fourth and therefore a home final. And Brisbane, we would like to hope, are going to turn it on not only for their new coach who will be in attendance, but also as a farewell for two greats, one being Enrique, but more specifically being Matt Mackay. I implore Darren Davies, having watched Brisbane against Newcastle, please don't let us remember Matt Mackay in his final game playing as a central defender as he was against Newcastle. Can we please have him back in the midfield running the show? Because I felt extremely sorry for him last week in the centre of defence against Newcastle. It's just not the way I want to remember Matt Mackay, who I know is a player you speak of very highly, Harps, and in fact a quote of yours was read out at his farewell press conference.
Yeah, right. Well, that's interesting. I'm very sad. I think Matt could go around again. And, of course, it's his business. It doesn't feel like he's up to it and he's had enough. And I just wonder how much the deplorable state of Brisbane Roar in a comparative sense has actually brought his decision on. And, when the league working model gets sorted out and whatever autonomy for the A-League is set up and clubs think, righto, the war's over, let's start getting into this and investing. Everything goes up on a dramatic trajectory again, and Brisbane are part of that. I'd love Matt Mackay to have been part of that resurgence because I'm certainly not going to remember him for the last couple of years at Brisbane, and I hope generally people don't. I will remember Matt Mackay as a fantastic leader, a super player, complete Australian product, who on the hallowed turf of World Cup finals football took on the best midfield of the generation, the defending world champions in Spain, and the best midfield of that generation. He took them on at their own terms, and he didn't cower, and he wasn't defeated. I mean, the team was, but as an individual, Matt Mackay played bravely that game. It'll be my enduring memory of him. I was so proud of what he did and what he was representing on that day, even though the team lost. It was an enormous performance, and the league's going to miss him. He was the player to whom we were referring last week, I think. Were you thinking what I think?
Yes.
He'd be too?
Yes.
And I knew what you were thinking, but I didn't want to blow your cover.
B3.
I think I know what you were thinking. You know that I know.
Anyway, well done to him. There's a big hole left in the league with him, Brosk and Valeri, and then, of course, Mark Bridge and Brendan Sandler. Five very big Australian names retiring from the game.
What was the quote, or you can't quite remember it, but what sort of vein was it in from Andy Harper at the Mackay farewell press conference?
I don't know.
No, I'm asking Murray.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't know what the quote is. I was hoping Harps might be able to give it to us, given that he actually wrote it.
Yeah, well, Mickey Meredith, who was hosting the press conference or doing something on the day, he sent me a text and said, can you shoot us a line about Matt Mackay? And I shot the message back and said, mate, I love for the player, a line's not going to be enough. And he said, fine, send us a paragraph. So I took the liberty. And part of that, if he read the whole thing, I don't know, I wasn't there. But We wish him all the best. He's been amazing. I hope he's not lost to the game. I don't know what he wants to do. Was there any news on that, what his intentions
are? He was asked that after the game, and he said what you alluded to last week, that he has interests outside of football. He's currently coaching as well at, I think it's Brisbane Grammar, isn't it, their first 11. So he said he was going to have a bit of a break before deciding whether or not he wanted to continue in the game. But De Vere and Pepper back in the squad for the game too, so I can't imagine he'll be filling in central defence again.
And because Andy's got such a good phone line, what he could do now is like put it on speaker and then sort of go back to his old text messages that he sent Nick Meredith and read it out.
Andy Harper and technology doesn't go together.
It was on an email, Murray. I can't do it. You know what an email is, Murray?
Yeah, they're on your phone, mate. That's what we're suggesting. You could get it out of your phone. All right. Now, listen, we touched last week on the two retirees being Alex Brosk and Carl Valeri. We've just mentioned Matt McKay. Maybe a quick comment on three others that have announced their retirement: Brendan Santelab, Mark Bridge, and I guess in a way, Fox Sports' own Bruce Gittay, who's decided that he's also going to hang them up. Start with you, Harps. Mark Bridge.
Well, hang on a minute. That's Bruce Gittay is actually announced a retirement. Does that mean he wants to jump on the open top Mustang as it goes around grand final day?
Yes, but I think the thing is, the open top Mustang that goes around on grand final day will honour people who retired 12 months ago. So right. Bruce Gittay, Mark Bridge, Alex Bross, Carl Valeri, Brenton Santelab might have to wait for another 12 months.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, Brucey, another fantastic local product who's just had a great career with more to come, you'd imagine, although off the field. So cutting his teeth in the media and doing a great job.
Mark Bridge was the name I mentioned to you.
And Mark Bridge too. A very talented player. One wonders whether he actually reached his potential, but has delivered some incredible moments. The winning goal for the Jets in their only national title, the Wanderers' first ever goal in the A-League, and then being part of that Champions League and that early rush at the Wanderers, which reset, I think, the culture of the A-League or added an enormous amount to the culture of the A-League, and Bridgie was in the middle of it. So, fantastic.
And scored for Sydney FC in a grand final too. Don't forget that.
Correct. And another winning grand final. So a very celebrated career, and well done to him as well.
And I'll take up Brendan Santelab, sort of watched his journey throughout the A-League era and that fabulous goal at Adelaide Oval. I'll always remember his goal in the 5-4 game, which I still rate as the favourite game that I've ever called up on the Central Coast when he scored a la Dennis Bergkamp. I'll never forget that.
I'll never forget that. Never forget your a la's.
But what he did with the Wanderers, I mean, I was lucky enough to call him scoring a hat-trick at Spotless as well. And he was such a fan favourite. He also gave Fox Sports one of the most amazing stories about his childhood as well, which was a real tearjerker. So he's been through a lot. We were lucky to even have him as a footballer, given what happened in his junior years. So well done, Brendan Santelab, who has been referred to as Brenton by quite a few people. And I have to apologise for that if there's been any sort of carryover effect. But he's definitely Brendan, and well done to him.
Rhymes with?
What does it, John Sendon?
John Sendon. Sendon.
Brendan rhymes with Sendon.
Sendon. Right. Now, this weekend, we mentioned the Brisbane versus Adelaide game that Adelaide, of course, need to win to secure fourth. Should that happen, it probably changes the sort of team that Mark Rudin sends to Perth to play for Wellington on Sunday. Put your coach's hat on, Speedy. Wellington won't be able to get fourth, obviously, in a home final, should Adelaide win on Anzac Day. So does Mark Rudin rest most of his gun players from a very long and arduous, whatever that is, eight-hour trip to Perth?
Well, I would have thought
the distance derby.
I would have thought you would, but he was asked about that after last week's game, and he said they're all going. They're all going to the West. Of course, they have to go a long way out, maybe minus two. For the distance derby. So they have to take all the players, and obviously you can't take a squad of 22. That's an expensive process for the Knicks. So I think they'll take a squad of 15. That'll be pretty good.
The other factor in the back of his mind is, should things fall apart a bit over in the West and maybe Melbourne City do a job on the Central Coast, Wellington could end up finishing sixth and have to play Melbourne Victory potentially on the Friday night. So like a 4 or 5 day turnaround.
Straight to Melbourne.
Uh-huh. Yeah, straight to Melbourne. So some, certainly some things for him to contemplate, but I imagine Mark Rudin's certainly probably going to wait to see the outcome of the Adelaide versus Brisbane game before he finalises a squad. Is that what you'd think, Harps?
Yeah, but he's not going to have a lot of room to move. Speedy's right.
Yeah.
So he'll have, you know, the practice would be in these things to take maybe a couple of players extra in case someone gets sick. That would be the normal routine. And so I think he'd only have a couple of options of resting players on that basis. But I suspect Roots' mentality at the moment is not to rest. You know, there's so much around this team at the moment because of his declaration that he won't be there next year. And, you know, I've been thinking about a conversation last week about maybe Western United, if they have signed him, why don't they just make the announcement? And every day they don't, it's more dodgy questions he has to evade. And it, I just don't think it's worth it, to be honest. But he's managing all that as well. And I think he will just try not to get too cute and too smart about this. And he'll pick his best team and he'll go for it to keep whatever momentum they can generate going.
Is he picking his best team for the Guard of Honour? Because yeah. I spoke about this last week. Yep. Sydney FC may be putting up the Guard of Honour for the Perth Glory after handing over their Premier's plate effectively. But then I was reminded by Sydney FC that that's a round 27 kind of thing. The Jets did it for Sydney FC in round 27 2 years ago. Kevin Muscat said, yeah, right, that won't be happening last year. But Will Wellington, former Guard of Honour for the Perth Glory, round 27 for their home game, to say, well done, you are the Premier's of 2018-19.
More reason to watch. And another reason to
Do you think they will?
I don't know.
I hope they don't. I hope they don't.
Well, you hope they don't. Isn't it a nice tradition? They do it in the Premier League.
Yeah, but that's because that's the champion. Because you win the home and away here, you're not the champion. And if I'm a rival, a finals rival, against the Premier's plate winner, I'm not wanting to acknowledge anything they've done in a psychological sense. So, no. Sorry, draw the line.
I think it adds to the class of your operation. I think if you're the Wellington Phoenix, you do it. And everyone says, isn't that a class act from Mark Rudan and the Wellington Phoenix offering up that Guard of Honour to Perth after their first Premier's plate?
And Mark Rudan and Tony Popovich, former teammates at Sydney FC and former long-term mates, I guess you'd say. So
former long-term
mates. Well, long-term mates. I was on the former role. Now, speaking of other reasons to watch that game, is the Alex Tobin Award for the Fox Sports Player of the Season is going to go right down to the wire, Brenton Speed, because we have three players in the hunt heading into the final week, being Diego Castro and Milos Ninkovic, who are both on 25 points, and Roy Krishna, with that hat-trick last weekend, has jumped to 24. Now, the big thing here is, does Diego Castro play? Does Milos Ninkovic play? And does Roy Krishna play? So there's a three-way run for the Tobin Award, but there is the possibility that all three might be rested.
Yeah, and Castro and Ninkovic haven't picked up too many votes lately.
Remembering Ninkovic is, of course, coming back. Well, he didn't play last night because he was injured, but he did go all the way to China.
Yeah, you could see a very real possibility that all three sit it out. And then we have joint winners for the first time in Alex Tobin medal history.
That's our promo.
Oh, we just keep the viewers hanging on. You know, you never know if Krishna's going to come off the bench.
Castro,
score a couple of
Castro probably plays in Perth, doesn't he? Harps?
After Castro signing a two-year deal.
Castro plays in Perth and brilliant news. So happy that Diego has agreed to terms under Popovich and listening to his descriptions of how his career at this late stage has been re-energised by linking up with Popovich. You know, just underscores everything we've been assuming about Popper and talking about without actually having the first-hand experience. And I'm over the moon that we're getting 2 more years of Diego Castro. Imagine him linking up with Bruno Fornaroli. I'm already excited about it.
He's 36 years of age, so some people suggesting, oh, I can't believe they've signed a 36-year-old for another 2 years. I would watch Diego Castro play football in a Zimmer frame.
Would
I love watching him.
Would you?
I would watch him.
What's to say that the 2 years is the deal, but what's to say it's not one and one? What's to say, you know, they haven't agreed to reassess, that they've got the comfort of the two-year agreement, but they don't reassess after the first year? And who, honestly, would look you in the eye and say, Diego Castro isn't looking as good and as strong now as he ever has in the A-League.
I'd agree with that, but in modern-day sport, if a two-year deal has been signed, I can't quite believe it. Maybe it is that one-plus-one element, but there is a salary cap kind of situation that unfolds there. So if you're committed to paying a certain salary in that second year, I mean, that goes under the cap.
Yeah, but if we're assuming he's not being signed as a marquee again. You correct me on this. Foreign role is on a marquee deal.
Yep, that's correct.
I'm assuming at the moment Diego's on a marquee deal, and if he doesn't stay on a marquee deal, I'd be mightily surprised.
I think to keep Chris Economides, they'd need to make him a marquee, so there must be a marquee spot spare.
I'd say they'd put him under the veteran under the cap, Castro, for two more years.
Mm. Well, we'll see. Who knows? I mean, we're presuming other people's business, but look, as fans of him, it's just great to know that we can watch him again next year. There have been a few better players in the comp.
Give me a winner of the Alex Tobin Award, Speedy. Castro, Ninkovic or Krishna? Castro and Ninkovic on 25, Krishna on 24.
We have joint winners. A draw.
It is a
Castro,
tie.
Castro, Ninkovic. Castro, a draw.
Castro and Ninkovic in a draw. What about for you, Harps?
I think Diego bags it at home in front of that playing against the Phoenix.
Yes, I'm a bit inclined to go with you. Ninkovic probably rested, unless he desperately wants to win this award. And Roy Krishna's got to come up against the man that you've been touting in recent weeks too, Shane Lowry. So that's going to be a tough afternoon for him if he plays the entire 90. So I think you're probably right. I think Castro might pick up a point or two and become the first player ever to win the Alex Tobin Award twice.
Who's the expert commentator in the West?
Jamie Harnwell.
Are you going to put the pressure on him and make him aware that, it all comes down to Harnwell?
I can also tell you another reason for watching that game on Sunday is that Kenny Lowe is going to be part of the panel for the pre- and halftime show.
Is he working on his one-liners already, or comes naturally?
He probably is. We'll just let him do stand-up for 30 minutes. Now, Harps, we touched on it last week, so I'm going to give you a chance to finish this off. Newcastle will play their last game of the season this weekend. You alluded to what might have gone wrong last week, but care to expand?
Yeah, I think I got as far as saying that their attacking stats, apart from goals, were as good as anyone's, and probably in the top couple for balls into the penalty area, et cetera, et cetera. But what's happened this year, quite obviously, is that players who played well last year have a named up this year. And Dimi Petratos, who was great last week, by the way, but it's too little too late for this season. Great season last year, Dimi. Didn't live up to the hype this year. O'Donovan, the same. Andrew Naboot, in my opinion, wouldn't have made the difference that everyone's suggesting. Joey Chandler might have. And in hindsight, more of Angus Thurgate. A very, very disappointing return from Newcastle. And the fans in that part of the world are sick of the well, it's not even a yo-yo experience at the moment. It's more a bungee. One great jump and then you just bounce around for a while. So they've got to fix it. I know the club's very frustrated with the return this year, as the fans are. And it's going to be very interesting to see where they go from here. A result last weekend to just tease their fans of what they've missed out on in a finals, in a return to the finals, because it's very, very disappointing that they failed on that front.
I'll see you keeping me honest about Alex King, and I'll raise you keeping you honest about Ronnie Vargas. It didn't get a mention there. Old Ronald Vargas has offered nothing, zilch.
Wasn't in the squad last week, Speedy.
And wasn't in the squad. Champness annihilates them.
He's not staying. There's no chance.
Yeah, but Vargas, what about his season? Quick report card.
Yeah. It didn't come to life. I'm very disappointed. I still like watching him play. Things started going a bit creepy. When they started chasing the season because their finishing was so poor, then the cracks started appearing, and I don't think it didn't appear to be managed particularly well. Jair was another one who came in with big raps, and he had moments when he looked very exciting but couldn't get consistent game time. And, you know, when the team is coughing, any team is coughing and spluttering like this, oftentimes coaches chop and change. No one gets into any rhythm. Then we get to round 2016 and we look back at these players and think they didn't deliver, which is true. Very disappointed. And if that's the last we see of Ronnie Vargas, I will be disappointed, because he is the type of elegant footballer that we need our kids to be watching more and more. He's in the same vein as a Castro and a Ninkovic as far as technique is concerned, no question.
Yeah, probably going to have three of those similar types of players in Ronnie Vargas, Eric Boetiek and Alex Bomeo-Hahn, not wanted by the clubs that they're currently at, but maybe wanted by other clubs. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, Bomeo-Hahn certainly.
I'd be surprised if he's at the Wanderers next season.
Yeah.
Well, Coates Bajak won't be at the Brisbane Roar, but he might be in the A-League.
Is that definite? The Roar, they've closed the door? Robbie Fowler's already closed the door?
I'd be surprised if any of the current foreign players at the Roar will be there under Robbie Fowler.
Yeah, righto.
Now, Speedy, you're a rugby league fan. You're also a rugby league caller, one of the best. And a Parramatta Eels fan, you must have enjoyed watching the opening of Bankwest Stadium on Easter Monday. And a bit like me, I'm sure, thought to yourself, geez, I can't wait for the Wanderers to play out there, have the...
Mark Bridge farewell game there this weekend. That'd be great, won't it?
So this is my suggestion, Speedy. Should they have played their final game of the season at Bankwest this weekend to give everyone a little teaser so they go out and buy their season passes for next year? And I should point out too that the Waratahs Rugby Union are playing there this Saturday.
Of course they should have. Of course they should be playing
or
as soon as possible.
Or opened at the start of next season, which I'm sure, and we all know John Tatsimus and like him dearly, I'm sure there's reason behind why he's decided to wait till the start of next season.
I'm just being so annoyed over the last few months by everything that panders to the Wanderers and the way they want to do things, just off the top of their head, that we're just doing it that way. And everyone can just fall in line with the Wanderers, right? What was the first issue that got my goat about the Wanderers? Let's not bring in the 12th club. Let's not bring in, because we want to get the Wanderers get momentum at the new stadium next year. I mean, bring 12th club in, no buys, and the Wanderers have more Sydney derbies. That place is rocking once every 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, and then the Wanderers again. Oh, Sydney FC can't play a final there. Oh, that'll get the Wanderers' noses out of joint. Sorry, we've got a state-of-the-art stadium, and if the Sydney FC are going to play a final at Cogra or a Leichhardt and could be playing at this new Bankwest Stadium, slot them in there. And what could have avoided a lot of the friction was to let the Wanderers play their farewell game for Mark Bridge this weekend. Hello.
There it is.
Hello.
There's two hellos.
And then they've got the first game in, and then we can just use it as a multi-purpose, multi-patron sort of stadium.
Yes.
Have they annoyed other people like they've annoyed me?
Well, they've clearly annoyed you. Have they annoyed you, Andy Harper?
Speedy needs some new medication, I think. He's getting annoyed by a lot of things, and he's way too young to be a cranky old man. Look, they're not. These are not things off the top of their head, Speedy. I'll take you to a task on that. You might disagree with the decisions, and you're totally entitled to that. But to think that these decisions or positions are taken on a whim, I think is a bit of a stretch. Now, you've got a big meal planned. You bring out the hors d'oeuvres and the cheese, the Jackson cheese. Why do you want to spoil a main meal with soggy Jats as the hors d'oeuvre? And this Wanderers team at the moment is the equivalent of
glad
soggy Jats before dinner.
Sorry.
They're soggy Jats before dinner. And if they're thinking that, you know what, let's get out of the holding pattern and reset completely, then I'm prepared to accept it. The stadium was magnificent. I was like you, Belford. I did watch. And I just think, well, the Wanderers were a big part of the reason for the stadium redo in the first place. And that point should be hammered home, because it was the Wanderers and the red and black block and the huge membership base and Asian football. Let's not forget this. Western Sydney Wanderers playing in the Asian Champions League and bringing Asian dignitaries to the old Parramatta Stadium.
And millions on TV. And millions on TV.
That's right. And it was a massive black eye for Australian sport. Parramatta Eels, God bless them, huge club, but they're not going to expose Australian sporting infrastructure frailties to the huge Asian audience and to the Asian Football Confederation. That was the sole privilege of the Western Sydney Wanderers. So we should state this claim very clearly that whilst everyone's going to enjoy this stadium, the Western Sydney Wanderers, as irritating as they've been for Speedy in recent months, are a key reason why this massive investment and this brilliant stadium has been delivered. And I can't wait till they're actually playing for pride and for points there. And whilst we're on the topic of the stadium, one of the stands at least on Wanderers game day must be named the Popovich stand. I can't think of anything more fitting given what he did at the start of that club.
Even if he's coaching another team.
Well, you know, Exactly right. It's a good point, guys, and I have thought about that. But in the end, I think, you know what? When you start a club from nothing, you win Premier's plates and make grand finals and win the Asian Champions League, doesn't that supersede whatever other jobs you might get in the game?
And well, Liverpool have got a Kenny Dalglish stand, and he, of course, won the title with Blackburn. So, yeah. No problems with that at all.
Yeah, but the Wanderers have already had a chat about this halves and they've decided it's not going to happen. Sorry, there'll be no robust discussion on that front and they'll just move on.
Can I just say one thing before we go on? Because I've been trying to get this in and we keep forgetting for about 4 weeks now. And the stadium at Parramatta has given us the nice segue. Now that they've demolished the Sydney Football Stadium, Allianz, and the rebuild is on, and we can, I think, be excited in prospect, given what Parramatta's new stadium looks like. Can we please start a very, very earnest and energetic campaign to get Johnny Warren's statue placed in a more appropriate and pivotal position? Not tucked under a bush on the roadside there, but right in the forecourt. This was controversial when the SCG Trust actually commissioned this brilliant piece of artwork, and thank you to them and congratulations to them for doing that. But now that the joint's been raised to the ground, we have to get Johnny Warren's statue in the perfect place. Does anyone dare disagree with that? And if so, well, don't listen anymore.
No, don't disagree with that. But I just want to reflect on about 10 minutes ago, you were waxing lyrical about Mark Bridge, and now you think he's just a soggy Jats. you wouldn't play his farewell game at the new venue. You just think he's a soggy Jets.
He's not the reason for them being a soggy Jets. Well, how disappointing has their season been?
You went to too many parties in the 80s where they used to hand around Jets with a little bit of coon cheese on it and a little bit of Cabanossi. Yeah, you went to too many of those parties, didn't you?
No, never enough, mate.
Right. Look, Champions League, last night, you two called Melbourne victory and Guangzhou Evergrande's 1-1 draw. That was followed by a 2-2 draw between Shanghai SIPG and Sydney FC, a Desmond Tutu. quick comment on both of those?
We called the Melbourne victory game, and credit to them for scrapping out a draw. They needed more than that. They're out now. They can't get through. But well done, an understrength side named by Kevin Muscat. The key moment came when Anderson Talisca, who just lit up the previous match day, missed a tap-in, really, to make it 2-1 in a hurry, and I think they would have gone on with the job there. But he had a terrible night. And on the Sydney FC front, we've already wrapped Brandon O'Neill, and deservedly so.
Yep. Fantastic performance from both those sides. Premier League games this morning. Spurs had a 1-0 win over Brighton.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. Deserved. I did watch it. Basically, Brighton turned up, and right from the very first minute, they said, we are trying to get a 0-0 draw out of this. And they went about 88 minutes towards achieving that. The second half possession, I think, was 83% to 17% in the second half. It was just bombs away from Spurs. And Matt Ryan did a fantastic job in goal and got beaten by a Christian Eriksen left footer from outside the area with a couple of minutes to go. The other result this morning saw the fastest goal in the history of the Premier League, scored by Shane Long of Southampton in a 1-1 draw against Watford. Are you going to get up and watch a Manchester derby on Thursday morning, Speedy, to see whether United can take a point off City and maybe propel you to a title?
That's tomorrow morning.
It is.
Thursday morning. Dawn service into Manchester derby.
You could do that. Well, although it's a Australian Eastern Standard Time
5 a.m.
4:45 kickoff, so you is might that, have to do yeah. one or the other.
Yeah, right. I'll keep an eye on it.
Right. Champions League. Haven't seen you, of course, Speedy, since both our teams, Spurs and Liverpool, qualified for the semi-finals. Spurs with that miraculous victory over Manchester United and Liverpool over Porto. So next week we have Spurs versus Ajax on Wednesday morning and Barcelona versus Liverpool, first leg of the semi-final on the Thursday morning. Do you give Liverpool a chance of progressing to the final in that one, Speedy?
Definitely. Manchester United could have scored in the opening minute at
Marcus
New Camp.
Rashford,
yeah,
off the bar,
and other teams have had every chance of scoring against Barcelona at the New Camp. So Liverpool, with their dynamic attack, that almost suits playing away from home, are a big chance to get some away goals to take back to Anfield. Are we away first, or you don't know?
No, it's away first. Yeah.
Well, that I think that suits us. Go back to Anfield and be in the contest. Obviously got to shut down Messi, but hopefully Philip Coutinho gets major minutes because he is bang average.
Scored a cracking goal against Manchester United, Speedy.
Yeah.
I'll just get that little grab out. We'll play that again next week. Has a blinder and sticks one in the top corner.
I reckon he'll be lucky to play 10 minutes in the entire time.
What about Luis Suarez, ex-Liverpool, of course, potentially going to cause you headaches?
Yeah, definitely. What about the confidence levels for your Spurs?
Problem being is in that first leg, Son Heung-min, who's been sensational this season, a player that you've seen close up quite a lot, calling it the Asian Cup, of course. He's suspended for the first leg. Harry Kane is injured. So they're going to need someone to score some goals because you don't want to go back to Amsterdam without a lead. So it's going to be a tricky one for Spurs because I think we all know what Ajax have done in knocking off Real Madrid and Juventus to get here. So they won't be underestimated. They're a very, very good side. And plenty of Ajax players in the Spurs side, of course, too, with Christian Eriksen, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Davinson Sanchez. So they know what they're all about, but it's going to be tough.
Interesting to see the way Ajax attack it because their previous two ties, they've been on the road and absolutely ripped Real Madrid and Juventus apart when they had scoreboard pressure, away goals mounting. How do they play it in the first leg will be interesting. They're a fabulous team to watch.
This weekend, well, over the next 7 days, we've mentioned several times the Anzac Day match. Coverage starts at 1, well worth tuning in at 1 for a couple of great specials that we've put together ahead of a 2 o'clock kickoff for the Brisbane Roar against Adelaide United. The E-League is in the final round later Thursday evening. Friday, Melbourne City against the Central Coast. Saturday's doubleheader, Newcastle against Sydney, and then the Western Sydney Wanderers for the last time this season up against Melbourne Victory. On Sunday, we finish it off with Perth up against Newcastle. We've mentioned football cult.
Perth who?
Perth up against Wellington, sorry. We've mentioned football cult on here for the last few weeks, who are producing the great T-shirts, including the Spawning Salmon T-shirt. I can tell you on their website right now is a Baldcast T-shirt, which I will hopefully have one for both of you in coming weeks.
Surely no other sales.
My mum, my dad, Mr. and Mrs. Speed, Bryony Speed's sister.
Advanced hair, yeah.
Maybe just in the halls of Parliament where your sister works, just in a Baldcast T-shirt. Would she do that?
Maybe.
All right.
She's a listener now, I think.
A final thought quickly. Start of the year, Usain Bolt trains with the Mariners. Everyone thinks, yeah, it'd be great to see someone that fast playing a football field in the A-League against Australian players. Now, my final thought, and confirm that I saw this during the week, but was it Kylian Mbappe who was actually clocked at Usain Bolt's speed, but in a football match?
His top speed was better than the average speed of Usain across 100 metres.
Not quite a fair measurement.
Top speed in the 100 metre sprint is 7 kilometres an hour quicker than Kylian Mbappe.
Yes.
Okay. So there's enough in this to realise that...
Fake news.
We've seen this guy in the flesh. And when the Socceroos played against him. And
Hang on, are you about to tell us that Kylian Mbappe is coming to the Central Coast Mariners?
No, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly the final thought. So maybe our fascination with Usain Bolt was to a degree sated by that realisation.
Thank you for your time, Brenton. Thank you for your time, Brenton Speed. I don't know
what
where
was
that
the point
went.
He was
I don't
making?
Know where
the final,
that went.
Final thought
I
was
I don't know that where that went. Thank you, Brenton Speed.
Thank you, Murray Shaw, and we are done on the broadcast.
Thank you, Andy Harper.
Thank you.
That's all we've got time for this week. Garby and Simon back on Monday for the flagship Fox Football podcast, which is well worth listening to at the moment, actually, because I fear that in the next couple of weeks you might actually hear Daniel Garb spontaneously combust on air when he realises that Liverpool won't win the comp despite the season that they've had. He's really struggling to come to terms at the moment with the fact that Liverpool aren't going to win the comp.
The records they're setting.
The records that they're setting, and that maybe... I think he even said last week, if Manchester City weren't there, Liverpool would win the title, which seemed a little bit obvious. Anyway, we'll listen to that on Monday with Garby and Simon, and we'll
just
be back.
One final thought.
Oh, no.
The Wanderers are a great club. They really are.
It's the backflip.
Oh, where are you going with that?
There's a backflip from Nadia Comaneci that we get accustomed to. Thanks very much to the both of you. Back to the Car Harps. Goodbye to you. Goodbye, Brent Speed. See you next week.